February 7th, 2024. Could be doubt. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Matthew 11:1-6. Now, as we enter into chapter 11, we are going to move on from the talk about the mission trip and now focus on John the Baptist. Now, when we see John here, he is in prison. And for those who don't know the story of John, he was the one who was said to pave the way for Christ. He was the forerunner. Many called him Elijah, the welcomer of the king. We meet him at the beginning of Matthew, and now we hear about him again. And you probably want to know how he got into prison. Well, we actually hear that story in chapter 14, if you want to read it for yourself. We'll get there soon. The short version, though, is that Herod, the king, put him in prison to cover up for Herod's secret relationship with a lady named Herodias. Herod's brother's wife. Yeah, it's complicated. Not just her name is complicated, but the relationship is complicated. See, John spoke up and ended up in prison. But not just that, he's about to be executed. He gets his head chopped off. But I think as we read this passage, we see something that grows in each of our own hearts. And that's doubt. I also think there are some things to be learned here. Things that we might need to hold on to when, like John, things aren't making sense. So here they are. Number one, look to Christ in Scripture. You see, John might have thought that Jesus was going to make everything better. He might have thought that he would bring blessing for the repentant and judgment for the rebellious. He might have thought that he was there to start his rule as king. But whatever the motive behind the question, Christ's answer revealed what really needed to happen. They needed to see, not just John, but the two disciples that he sent, what is plain to be seen. To look at the scripture and look at Christ and come to a solid conclusion. If the signs pointed to the Messiah, then the only conclusion was that Jesus was the Messiah. He's the only man that did this kind of things. This is also the case for us. If all the evidence is in, then we must not keep doubting, or at least pick up our Bibles and battle the doubts head on. It's important to read, but more than that, to read and be certain. To read to be certain. Doubts happen when something we thought was to happen doesn't happen. Or if we find something unlikely because of past experience, we say, "I doubt that." Doubts also happen in moments of trials and struggle. Doubts arise in our hearts. Like here with John. He's in prison, about to die, and Jesus is supposed to be conquering by now. It's not adding up. So he may have doubts. But there is something we can learn from John, as he too seems to struggle, or may have struggled, to make sense of things. We must turn to the promises of God and what he's revealed in Scripture. We must have men and women in our life who can refocus us in times of questioning, in times when we aren't connecting the Word of God with our present circumstance. The way to fight doubt is to saturate our hearts and minds in the Word of God and have people who will walk beside us with the same mindset. So number one, look to Christ in Scripture. Number two, another option. Here's an alternative. John may have had doubts, but the other option here is, what if John didn't have the doubts, but was planning for the two disciples he sent? John knows his life is about over. This must have been plain to him. He knew he wasn't leaving prison. So we could see his eagerness to send those he loved to Christ himself with a question that would embolden their faith, that would give them answers, that would strengthen their faith, that would erase doubts in their minds, their young minds. John the Baptist had been preaching by the sea. People had been coming to him. So maybe he didn't have doubts, but maybe he was doing this for the people he sent. Now, we can't be for certain of the motive of the question. It does seem full of doubt. But maybe it was intentional to build his disciples up for when he dies. Which if this is the case, and even if it's not, we should learn that we should always be trying to live with men and women in such a way that emboldens them. Not that causes them to waver. Always trying to push people to Christ and not throwing snares in their paths, whether with our actions or words. So that's another option, another way that this could have been played out or could have been the motive. And lastly, don't be offended. We must see that when things don't add up, it's probably on our side, not on Christ. This is really hard, a really hard thing to hold when everything seems to be falling apart in our lives and we think Jesus isn't hearing us or that the Word of God seems to say things to do, but when we do them, it doesn't seem to change anything. It's hard, I know. It often seems the opposite at times. But the worst thing for us to do is to start railing our fist at God. To be offended in our doubting is a very hard place to be. And I encourage you, if this is you today, keep going. It seems confusing. It may even seem impossible. But call someone who can encourage you. Find someone who loves Christ. Keep reading and keep trusting and see that Christ loves you. He is doing what he has promised. I promise you. So keep going. And it is hard. I will not romanticize it. This is hard. Especially when you're in that valley. But please keep going. So here are the points to take away. Again for you. Number one, look to Christ in the Scripture. This is a sure way to keep your faith moving, to expel doubts, to get answers. Number two, surround yourself with godly men and women. It's nothing like a godly man and a woman or a woman to speak life into you. They just say the right things at the right time that will change your whole trajectory. Find those people. Read the Bible with them, do a Bible study, but keep going. Number three, live to embolden and encourage faith. Don't be a hindrance. Many people need solid, faithful men and women. So live like that. Number four, keep going. Keep asking questions, keep talking, and keep reading. And I hope this encourages you. And with this, have a happy Wednesday.